Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
How many tree climbers do we have out here? Tree climbers. How many of you ever climbed a tree? All right. If you haven't, you're missing out. You should do that right after the service. All right. We've got this tree on. Where are we? Oh, out there. There's a tree out there. That's always. Yeah, out here. That's always being climbed on. So go ahead and try. And if you fall, don't blame the church. All right. All right, there were two brothers who misbehaved quite often when they were sent to their room, they were secretly pleased. Just outside their window stood an old fruit tree. The boys would softly raise the window, climb down the tree, and play in the field behind the house. After a bit, they would climb the tree, slip inside, and close the window. And then they'd call downstairs to Mom and Dad, asking if they hadn't suffered enough. And one day they heard Dad tell Mom he planned to cut the tree down because it hasn't borne any fruit in years. The boys panicked and went into action. Pooling their money, they ran down to the grocery store and bought a bag of apples and a spool of black thread. And that evening they slipped out the window and tied all the apples to the tree. Next morning they waited eagerly for Dad's reaction. And soon they were pleased to hear the dad. Mary, come see, it's a miracle. The tree is covered with apples. The boys were congratulating themselves. Then they heard the dad say, it really is a miracle, because that's a pear tree. The parents had the wisdom and good humor to allow the tree to survive. And today we're going to share a biblical story about a man who climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. How many of you know this story? Okay, here's where you can win some nips. Twizzlers. I don't like Twizzlers. So I want to give this away. Who knows the Zacchaeus song from Sunday school back in the day? Kyla. Now, if you win this, you will instantly be the most popular person in your row. Because there will be no condemnation. All right? We will not, if you eat during the service, we're okay with that. All right? And you have to share with your row, but try not to do this. Okay. So who knows the song? First one up here. All right. Now we just want the four main kind of lines, and then you gotta tell everybody. You're getting the whole thing. All right. Okay, we're gonna be here for hours, all right?
Okay.
Say your name first so people get to Grandma of many. All right. Go ahead. Awesome. Awesome. Here we go. Yeah. If we left right now, you'd feel, hey, today was pretty good. Now, when I was a kid, I loved that song, partly because I thought it was cool that this guy climbed a tree, for one thing. And I love that song, singing that song. There was a lot of classics, but I don't know why that one was one of my favorites. Probably because it made me feel like a kid, right? And being feeling like a kid's a good thing, right? So I want to say thank you to the last four members who preached. Thank you to Faye and Vaughn and Sam and Pastor Joel for preaching in our series, and this is the last one. I'm going to go a little bit haywire, and I'm going to speak from the New Testament today, like you've already figured. And we're going to go We're going to go into Luke chapter 19, all right? So if you want to follow along, we're just going to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are, that you love us, that you care for us, that you desire a relationship with us. And we pray, Lord, you know the things that are happening in our hearts. You know the fears, you know the challenges, you know the joys in our hearts. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us, that you would show us that you are with us, and that you will take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, please speak through me this morning. So we're going to read Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached a spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation came to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." If Jesus came through the Comox Valley, how many people do you think would go see Jesus? How many people? You think everybody? Okay. Do you think people would probably travel to come? Probably from all over the world. You know, the scripture starts with it saying Jesus was going through Jericho. And to intro Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. And so he was the boss of other tax collectors. He was wealthy, he was short, and he was a sinner. And people didn't like him very much, right? And he was rich due to the misfortunes of others. And here this hated, shorter, rich dude climbed a sycamore tree, probably around 30 to 40 feet, just so he could catch a glimpse of Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to be a part of the crowd. Now, I love crowds. I'm a pretty extroverted guy, if you've gotten to know me. I like the excitement of the big crowds. And here's a picture of BC Place at a Whitecaps game. Who's ever been to a Whitecaps game? All right. So Whitecap, great game. I remember when I was staying in a hotel with my wife for a timeout. It's a youth pastor's get-together down on Robson Street, Vancouver. And all we could hear from our room was these chants. And the chants got louder and louder. More people, you could tell, more people were joining in these chants, these songs. And I couldn't really make out what they were doing. I didn't really even know what was happening. I kind of had an inkling it could do something with sports. And I said, "Kim, we got to go. We got to go check this out. We got to go be part of this crowd." And my wife's a little bit more on like, she's more shy than I am. And you probably noticed. And she's like, okay, I trust you. We'll go down there." As we started heading down Robson towards BC Place, the crowd was so large that cars couldn't even get down the road. And I was like, "We got to be a part of this. We got to go down there and go see. We didn't have tickets for anything." We went down there, and there was people dancing. There was people jumping. There was people cheering. It was a home opener. I said, "Kim, we got to get tickets. We got to get tickets because this is so exciting, right?" And she's like, "Oh, whatever, right?" And I bought tickets from this lady, and we got in, and it was like full out, just like, you know, people jumping up and down, people just still excited. You got the Southsiders there doing, telling off the other players, and oh, it was just such a great time. And I was in love with the atmosphere, and there was excitement. The excitement won me over. We got into that stadium, and the cheering didn't stop. And a lot of times, we desire, as people, we desire to be a part of a crowd. We desire to feel accepted of something that's bigger. You know, the crowd is attractive. The excitement is attractive. It makes us feel a part of something that's greater. And Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming. He heard a commotion. He probably heard from others, hey, we're going to go down and see who this Jesus is. Here's a shorter guy trying to get a glimpse of Jesus but couldn't get to the front. Is there anything worse than going to like a concert or a movie and you have to sit behind Greg Saunders? Like, come on now. Like, you're like, okay, this is going downhill fast because I won't be able to see anything because the guy is like Goliath, right? Please take me fishing again for a second. Yeah, like I'm a seal. Yeah. Hey, I like that. Yeah. Something in him gave him the push to go see Jesus. I feel that church plays a very important role in our lives, in my life, in my kids' lives, in our youth's lives, in our adults' lives, in our seniors' lives, because we're a family. Am I right? We're a family. And when I meet people who struggle, I always say to them, you should consider going to church because there's a group of people that would care for you, that would take care of you, that would help you out, that would encourage you, that would take you out for lunch, take you out for dinner, or take you out for a walk, whatever. We're a family that cares for each other. We are a little bit dysfunctional at times. I guarantee you that, right? Everybody's dysfunctional once you get to know them a little bit. Except for me, of course, right? That's why I encourage you in September, be a part of a life group. Get to know others in the church. That's why we have church family hangouts, like today at Miracle Beach. These things are important to us because we want you to feel that you're a part of our church family. We want to get to know you, and hopefully you want to get to know us as well. Now, I get that you may not be as extroverted as I am, and that you may not love large crowds. But Zacchaeus didn't care about looking foolish because he knew how important it was to see Jesus. What were some of his obstacles? Okay, he was shorter. What else? Yeah, people didn't like him, so they weren't going to go out of their way to help him, right? What else? Yeah, huge crowd, right? He had to run. Little did he know that this tree climb that he did changed his life for eternity. Something great happened. This was his close encounter. My close encounter happened when I was in grade 11, when I rededicated my life to Jesus. When I gave my life over to him fully. And it was at camp. And some of you have gone to camp this summer. It's good to have you guys back. How many of you have gone to camp this summer so far? All right. Great experience, am I right? How many of you have been impacted by camp before? A lot of you. That's right. What is your close encounter? Throughout your life, I want you to think back. When was your close encounter? When was your encounter with God? Maybe today you're thinking, I haven't had a close encounter yet. And we're going to pray that today is the day you have that encounter with the living Father, with the living God. How did Jesus view Zacchaeus? How did Jesus view Zacchaeus? How did he view Zacchaeus? He loved him. How would you view Zacchaeus? There's a lot of Zacchaeuses out there. I've met about a million of them. Right? Sometimes we could be like that too, right? Jesus not only accepted him, he knew his name. He knew his name. He knows our name. He knows our hurts. He knows our interests. He knows our thoughts. Isn't that scary? He knows everything about us. And here he says in verse 5 that Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to have barbecue steaks. We're going to have Cokes. And we're going to have a great time. I'm going to stay at your place." He cared. It doesn't actually say that. But when I think of food, that's what I would want, right? Speaking of knowing someone's name, "Hello, my name is Kevin." "My name is Trevor." We all love getting called our real name, am I right? How many of you get called the wrong name? Frequently. For me, it's Kevin. I get called Kevin, I don't know what it is. And it used to really bother me. Now I just like really laugh about it. And, you know, I've got like numerous buddies that have the same name as me. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, this happened at the airport," or "This happened at Starbucks," or that's why I don't go to Starbucks anymore. And I've got a Starbucks mug. Everywhere I go, I get called Kevin, sometimes here at the church, all right? Actually, somebody just called me Kevin on Facebook. And I won't point you out, but I thought that was kind of funny. Anyways, so every Trevor I meet, I say, "Hey, do you get called Kevin lots?" And it's just, it's mind-boggling to them. They don't even think about it. And they say, "Yes, all the time." But Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. He knew his name. I love the fact that Jesus is relational. I love the fact that he would go to anybody and talk to them. That he would care for them. I think we can learn so much from his life that we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus here in the Comox Valley. Calvin's with me. Nobody else is with me. If you agree, he'll make you smokies after, okay? Who agrees with that? Well, we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. That's right. I love this quote in the Expositor's Commentary as I was preparing for this message. It says, "Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus, though commendable, was surpassed by the fact that Jesus wanted to see him more." That Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus more. He picked this guy out of the crowd to spend time with, to stay at his house. For me, it'd be like, "Hey, who's the best cook? Who has the most comfortable bed? Who has ocean view?" But here's Jesus. He said, "Zacchaeus, you know, probably a bachelor, right? And I'm going to spend time with you." Here, Jesus doesn't look at Zac as a terrible person, but the potential he can become. Jesus looks at your potential. Some of you have made bad decisions in your life. I have made bad decisions in my life. And I'm thankful that Jesus saw my potential. I'm pretty sure it was Craig Groeschel on Twitter a few months ago quoting, "When Jesus died on the cross, he had us in mind. To endure pain the way he did that for us." I'm going to read that again. "When Jesus died on the cross, he had us in mind. To endure pain the way he did that for us." Who you can become without the baggage, he sees who you can become without the baggage that you're holding on to this morning. And Jesus saw the potential in this man that wasn't liked by many. Not only did Jesus want to see Zac, he wanted to spend great time with him. Third point, encountering Jesus changes your life. This is a picture. This was a great moment. This is a great moment. This is at the Peterson house. And this was our last youth event in June. And kind of brought, you know, I brought some tears to my eyes because it was one of those proud youth pastor moments. Here's a family, and I've talked about this before, but we ended up baptizing Ricardo Landi, who was our international student that stayed at the Peterson's house. And throughout the year, he was coming to youth, he was checking things out, he wasn't really sure, and then at History Maker, he gave his life to Jesus. We saw it right in front of him. Yeah, give it a hand. We saw that transformation in his eyes. His eyes just filled up with joy and purpose. And that last youth night, he was actually really nervous that he didn't really want to get baptized because he'd be in front of so many other teens and adults. And I just had a quick chat with him. I said, "Hey, man, you'd be all right." And he's like, "Oh, it was such a great moment." So Brooke and Sheila there baptized him while I'm leading him in the throughout the baptism, and it's just such a cool moment for us. And if that's you, if you want to get baptized, please talk to myself or Pastor Chad or Pastor Joel, and we'd love to plan another water baptism because those are great days. Those are great days. Zacchaeus experienced transformation and salvation. He encountered Jesus and gave his life and possessions back. He gave half his riches to the poor, and he paid four times the amount that he took wrongfully. He gave all that back to those he had cheated. Zach wanted to change the way he lived his life. He wanted to make things right. You know, I think about sin. I think about what comes with sin, with guilt. And I hate having guilt. I hate it. It eats at your mind. It takes over your thoughts. Sin's like chains that bog us down. And when we encounter Jesus and we ask Jesus to take away all our sins, he breaks those chains. He takes it all away. The chains that kill our joy, our peace, our love, our happiness. And when we encounter Jesus, he breaks those things. He makes things all new. How many of you need to feel his grace this morning? How many of you need to feel his grace this morning? Quite a few of you. To give him those things that are heavy on your heart. One thing that should be heavy on our heart as a congregation is the sale of the Burgess house. And we're going to keep on praying for that house to sell in Jesus' name. Am I right? If I could just have the worship team come up. I'm just going to close in this. There's a song by a singer named Zach Williams. And it's a song that we used to sing in my last church. And it's called Chainbreaker. And you may have heard it, you may have not, but the words are just so great in it. And after this, I want to invite you to come to the altar. And if you would like to receive prayer, we'd love to pray with you. We've got Vaughn, myself, and maybe Pastor Chad, even though he's not working yet. We'll put him to work, right? And we want to pray with you this morning. This song goes, if you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaken savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. And that's Jesus. Are you lost today? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I love that in verse 10. Are you lost today? He's the way maker. Do you have pain today? He's the pain taker. Do you need freedom today? Because he's a prison-shaking savior. There's a better life with Jesus. So as our band just leads us in a song, just spend time with God. Tell him what's on your heart. He knows what's on your heart. Spend some quality time. The altars are free. We'd love to pray for you, talk to you. Don't just leave this morning. Let's encounter and spend time with Jesus today.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Before we go, I just feel real impressed to pray. I'm going to ask Faye to come and pray for Doris, Marcel, and we want to pray for Matthew and Joy Wren. Joy has brain cancer, and Doris is just not doing well at all. So I'm going to ask Faye to pray for Doris and for Joy.
Father, we're so thankful that today we sing those songs that there isn't anything that you wouldn't do to get to us. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you love us that much, that you care that much. And we know, Lord, that as Doris lies there on that sick bed, you care that much for her. And we know, Lord Jesus, that you're right there with her. We pray your peace would just so envelop her, help her to reach out and to know that love. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that as you take her in these steps, Lord, we pray that your light, your shining, your love would just shine through to her and give her yourself in such an amazing way, Jesus. And Lord, we pray this for Joy Wren too. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her life. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to finish the work. And we ask you, Jesus, that you would just complete the work that you're doing in these lives of these women. And Lord Jesus, we just ask you to keep our hearts open to what you're saying and doing for us. May we feel like Zacchaeus, that call to come to you and have you live and walk and work in us, we pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Faye.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.